Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.
How are you, Rachel?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining me for Conversations with the Pros. I figured we can dive right in. I'm super excited to start this conversation with you, and hopefully we can share as much insight as possible for all the dancers that are tuning in.
Sounds good.
So why don't you just start with giving us an introduction? I want to hear about your here and now, you know, where you're dancing, what life is looking like for you.
Okay, I'm Rachel Quiner. I'm 18 years old. Right now I am training at American Ballet Theatre's JKO school, and I go 6 days a week. We have a lot of classes and rehearsals, and it's intense, but I love being at EBT.
Nice. So talk to me a little bit about how dance has shifted for you, your relationship with dance, mainly from, you know, maybe more pre-professional training days to where you're at now.
Okay, I think dance has shifted in a way that it's a lot more serious now. Definitely as a kid, it's all for fun. And then once you get older, it's a lot for fun, but it's also you're trying to get a job, you're trying to get hired. And yeah, I mean, it's still really fun for me. I love doing it, but it's a lot of pressure trying to find a job, and it's really stressful. It's a hard moment in a dancer's career.
Absolutely. You know, and that pressure is felt by so many dancers, no matter the level, no matter the age, no matter the genre. Talk to me a little bit about how you work through and navigate through some of this pressure to keep motivated.
I love listening to podcasts. I do that a lot on my commute into the city because I'm still living in New Jersey, so I have a long commute there. I love listening to dance podcasts, specifically like James Whiteside's podcast or Conversations on Dance. I like to pray. It really keeps me centered. And I always pray before I go on stage. And just taking it day by day, taking deep breaths, knowing that everything's going to be okay. I just had kind of a rough week, and it was just trying to remind myself that it's going to be okay. And every day has its challenges, and you really just have to push through and keep going.
Absolutely, yeah. Having those other joys in your day is what I'm hearing as being something that's super helpful for you. And there's no doubt that a lot of dancers, specifically our younger dancers, struggle with hyper-fixating on their training, right? Because rightfully so, our training spans for the majority of our days and our weeks. But ensuring that we have these other joys, these other hobbies, activities that come into play is so incredibly important. Which brings me to my next question. How would you say your relationship with food has impacted your dancing, your performance, and so forth?
I would say my relationship with food is really important. As a dancer, I think supporting yourself and supporting your energy is so important. I think it can be really simple. Sometimes people try and make it complicated, but like just always packing snacks, packing food whenever you can, and just not worrying so much about everything you're putting into your body. I think convenient snacks are super important. I always keep like granola bars in my bag, fruit bars. I love edamame, apples, bananas, and just really fueling yourself, because our days can be so long and you definitely need energy to just keep you going and positive mood and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so many dancers do struggle with that word, sorry, convenience, especially when it comes to food, because there are a lot of messages in the dance world that focus, or I would say obsess is a good word, around needing to only get in foods that are, and I quote, lesser processed, more whole. And I always try to encourage that those foods are great. Those foods are nutrient-dense, they're helpful for dancers, but they're not the end-all be-all. And making room and space for focusing on accessibility when it comes to food, right? You have a long commute each day, two ways, right? So making sure that you are packing options that are going to withhold and withstand for the entire day, because by the time you are headed home in the late afternoon, if you did pack any snacks, you need to make sure those snacks are still going to be not just safe to eat and good, but you know, appealing and taste good to you. So that is where those packable, easy, convenient snacks come to play. And I'm happy to hear that that is a priority for you. I want a lot of younger dancers to hear that what I often call a proactive approach when it comes to food for dancers. You know, we are busy. You especially, you're navigating a lot, right? You're balancing a lot throughout your day. So remembering to pack some of these convenient options is an incredibly important tool in your training routine.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about what's going on with your YouTube channel. You and your sisters are on YouTube, and I love your channel. Like, it's so much fun. Tell me a little bit about how that started and where it's going and what that helps, you know. I would imagine that that brings some fun to your day, maybe some stress. I know from my own just work with social media, it's not nearly all fun and games. Actually, it is pretty stressful. But talk to me a little bit about how this began and what you enjoy most about it.
Yeah, we started our YouTube channel 5 years ago, and I was the sister who thought it would be such a good idea. Yeah, we started vlogging when I was like 12. It's just because it was something I thought would be really cool. And it's crazy to what it's ended up now. You know, we post every week, constantly posting content. I think what's really helpful for us is that we mostly vlog. So it's just, you can just film your life instead of like having to plan a bunch of videos, but it's still a job. It's hard, but something I love about it is that we get to look back on all these memories that we filmed, which I think is really cool. And so we just always have those memories on YouTube that we can always just look back on. So that's why I love vlogging and I love our channel.
Yeah, I think that's a really good perspective. I'll definitely look back on my own channel and I'll look at videos from like 5 years ago. And it's like before I had my second child. I'm like, oh my God, I was in such a different life space at that time, but it is cool to see that perspective and to have it and understanding. I think a lot of dancers, you know, especially in today's day and age, are realizing that media, social media, right, to an extent can play a pretty big role in a dancer's life. There's a lot of pros and cons to using social media as a dancer. So I think it's interesting to see this perspective of learning, maybe, you know, seeing what you've done in the past, learning from it, using it as an opportunity to learn just from your experiences.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Absolutely. That's awesome, Rachel. So talk to me a little bit more about your commute and how you balance getting to and from the city and doing it, you know, while also having a pretty physically demanding schedule as a dancer.
Yeah, so I leave pretty early every morning and I'll go with my sisters because there are companies in New Jersey. Then mm-hmm. I'll take the train into the city. My classes usually start at 11 and will go till 4, sometimes 5:30. So it's a pretty long day. And then after that, I will wait for my sisters to finish. They end a little bit later than me. And then I get to drive home with my parents who drove my younger sisters in. So that's really nice to have at the end of the day, but I still have to wait for my sisters instead of like directly taking a train home. But I like getting to be driven home because I can take a nap and just not have to worry about anything.
Yeah, I get that. I'm based in Long Island and I will do a lot of work in Manhattan, and the luxury of being able to get in my car at the end of a long day and drive back home is a big difference from having to take a train home.
Yeah, I definitely feel a lot more safe.
Oh, yeah, I definitely can relate to that. So talk to me, do you bring a lot of your meals and snacks with you for the entire day, or are you sourcing some of the stuff outside the studio?
Yeah, so I'll usually eat breakfast pretty early because I like to just eat it before I leave, because having to pack every single meal for an entire day is just a lot. So I'll usually have a bigger breakfast at home earlier in the morning, and then I usually pack a lunch. I always just have snacks in my bag for emergencies and just whenever I need them, but I'll try to pack a pretty good lunch. We don't always get the longest breaks, but we do get a lot of little breaks so then I can snack. So I like doing like snack boxes, something that's easy to grab for lunch. And then actually my mom will usually pack my dinner. She knows I'm not too picky, so whatever the family's having for dinner, she'll usually just pack for me, and then I'll have dinner in my car with one of my parents, and then we'll drive home.
Interesting. Yeah, so it sounds like you take this approach where you have this bigger breakfast in the morning because you can eat that at home, likely sit down while you're eating it, have a bit more of an experience. I've seen some of your breakfast meals that you and your sisters have, and they look delicious. Looks like you put some effort into these meals, which I really do love seeing, getting that in despite a really challenging, physically and logistically demanding day. And then you pack a bunch of things that are going to help to support you throughout the day. Hearing that you pack dinner, I think that's really great, because I'm sure you would be getting home at a really late hour. And I know the traffic going from Union Square to Jersey, the potential chance of that commute being extended if it's just a crazy traffic day is very potential. So I love hearing that you have those emergency sources of food to get you through. Do you usually have an evening snack of some sort when you do get back home?
Not all the time, but sometimes I will. Like, I love dried fruit, like a little dessert. I actually always have dried fruit after dinner for my little dessert. And then sometimes I'll have a snack when I get home. But yeah, that's really
awesome. Listen, overall, I love, and what I've noticed from your sisters and your YouTube channel is an overall normalization of food and of eating and of taking pride in the meals and the snacks that you are bringing to the studio and having at home. It really does help to set a beautiful example for all of the dancers out there, and especially dancers who are struggling in their relationships with food, Rachel. So thank you. Thank you for that. And the final question that I would love to pick your brain about, it's a bit of a loaded question, but I ask it to everybody on here, is how would you define what it means to be the healthy dancer? So just to give you a little bit of context, everything I do at To The Point Nutrition, it's under the umbrella of the healthy dancer. And I work with dancers all over the world, redefining what it means to be, and I quote, healthy, because what is healthy for one dancer might not necessarily be what works and what's healthy for another dancer. So how would you redefine the healthy dancer?
I would say a healthy dancer is someone who prioritizes nutrition, health, dancing, and kind of puts them all on the same level. I know dancers can always like rise dance up as the number one priority in their life, but there's really so many things that go into that, like your social life, your family life, the food you're packing, the food you're enjoying. I think dancers really need to learn how to balance everything so that it will complement your dancing. If you're finding other hobbies, spending lots of time with your family, eating yummy food, it will just help balance out your dancing and just make you a happier person. I mean, I love food. It's an enjoyment, and it's also a way to make memories, especially I have a big family and I just have so many memories of us sharing a meal together. So I think it's really important to me, and it just makes me a happier person.
Yeah, absolutely. I can absolutely relate in regards to just coming from a large family. Food is baked into our culture. Every celebration, every event that goes on, there is some circle around food, around a meal, and the ability to have those experiences. Food, it really is a testament to, for a dancer, food not only serving this physical purpose, but also serving this purpose to support us from an emotional standpoint, a mental standpoint, and even a spiritual standpoint, right? It all really does come together beautifully. And for dancers, having that ease in their relationships with food is what does allow to help them flourish in the studio without having to have too much stress or anxiety around the role that food plays in their dancing. So thank you so much for joining me tonight, Rachel. This was such a pleasure chatting and connecting with you, and we will be in touch.
Yes, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Of course, I'll talk to you soon.